Hi, this is Janie Reisner, and welcome to Women's Voices. My guest this evening is Lauren Rain, master mask maker, visionary painter, and mixed media sculptor, as well as a choreographer. Her MFA is from the University of Arizona and BFA from the University of California at Berkeley. Lauren studied traditions of temple masks in Indonesia and produced a series of collaborative masks with Balinese mask artists. In 1999, she made 30 multicultural masks of the goddess for the Spiral Dance at Fort Mason Center in San Francisco. A 7-year project, the Masks of the Goddess Collection, traveled throughout the U.S. with other producers, ritualists, and choreographers. They have been performed at the Chapel of Sacred Mirrors, New York, Nations Hall Theater in Tucson, Arizona, the Black Box Theater in Oakland, California, the University of Creation Spirituality in Oakland of Matthew Fox, the New College of California, and Matrilineage Festival Syracuse University. In 2007, she was awarded a fellowship with the Alden Dow Creativity Center at Northwood University to develop her Hands of the Spider Woman project, for which she also received a grant from the Puffin Foundation. Lauren's powerful masks were used for the recent solstice ceremony in Willits, which is on video, which you can reach on your computer, under Threads of Spider Woman at blogspot.com. Lauren writes, I have been an artist and a wanderer for over 30 years. My passions are the collaborative art of the mask and mythology. Lauren's new collection of masks, Numina Masks for the Elemental Powers, will be featured in an upcoming performance in Willits called The Awakening, produced by Annie Waters and Mana Youngbear, a multi-sensory art theater experience which presents the dilemma of our time in classical Greco-Roman theater style with dance, poetry, art, and music. It will be performed on March 15th and 16th. We'll be repeating this all again. 7 p.m. at Little Lake Grange, 291 School Street, Willits. Call the Muse 354-2475 for more information. Annie writes, the early Romans believed nature was inhabited and maintained by elemental forces they called the Numina. The mysterious forests, the generous orchards, the healing springs, each had an intelligent spirit, a Numen. As Rome grew, storytellers began to give the Numina names, and the weavers of myth gave them faces, and temples were built for them. But their ancient origins were never forgotten, their primal grace always sought. Indeed, the spirit of place calls to us today. We experience it in our wisdom and concerns over the salmon, health of the ocean, hurricanes, summer heat and wildfires being experienced each year. Join us as we speak to our fears of climate change, GMO issues, animal extinctions, and offer a key to revisiting our collective future. And now, from my CD, The Voice of the Mother, is the song We'll Feast in the Valley. Well, welcome, Lauren, to Women's Voices.
Hi, Janie. That was beautiful music.
Thank you. Thank you. I thought it kind of fit for tonight's subject. Whoops, we're getting more music here.
It's lovely.
He wants to keep playing. It's wonderful to have you at long last. You and your wonderful masks.
Well, thank you for the privilege of being here.
You bet. My first question always is, what part did your mother play in your becoming the woman that you are today?
Well, my mother was actually an opera singer in her youth. And I think she taught me a tremendous appreciation for the arts and culture, the wonderful culture that we come from, that we have such a rich heritage for music and painting and just the arts in general.
Mm.
I don't know that I'd be an artist if it weren't for my mother.
Hmm. Was she singing when you were, after you were born?
Yeah. Throughout my life, I remember her with her piano singing once daily.
Hmm. That's lovely. And so you've had a long and productive history of making mythic masks, along with other things.
Well, almost 30 years worth. I really started out with the Renaissance fairs, and I became interested in Del Arte masks, and it kind of went on from there. But when I really, I think, became interested in kind of the higher functions of masks was when I went to Bali and became interested in the temple mask traditions there.
It must have been an extraordinary experience to see them play such a significant part.
I began to wonder about traditions of sacred mass throughout the world. when you go to Bali, obviously, you know, there's a lot of masks that are the Balinese sell, and they're wonderful. But they have what they call their special masks or secret masks, and those ones are kept in the temple. And they're only brought out for particular rituals, particular persona. They're usually anointed with holy water by the Balian, the priest or priestess. And when the masks are not used, they're anointed with holy water again to kind of devoke the energies or send the gods or the persona on their way. And they're put back into the temple. And there is, just as in most indigenous cultures and ancient traditions around the world, this idea that the mask is a transformer of some kind. It's a magical tool that allows the gods or the goddesses to literally become embodied and come to Earth and communicate in some way with those of us here. Mm. I think that's something we've considerably lost in the West.
Well, yes, I can just envision it. I haven't participated in with your masks, but to wear a mask and think of yourself as who the mask is and let that lead you, I can't imagine. It's a very, very powerful experience.
Well, masks on all kinds of levels are very powerful because, I mean, well, there's the obvious fact that we all wear masks in our daily life, and we put on different kinds of persona. We have a persona that we go to work with, a family persona, you know. I mean, but a sacred mask is a mask that enters into the mythic realm or the archetypal realm, the place where a culture's gods and goddesses, and animal powers, elemental powers, reside in the imaginations and religion of the people. And so in that respect, a mask is something that is regarded as a way for the gods or the goddesses to, or these archetypal presences to enter into the performer and tell the story, but also to transmit the energies, the blessings of that particular archetypal form or deity. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, and it means the door opening. It's a door to say and do and be in ways we don't normally do in our mundane world.
Right. The mask is a portal. It's a liminal object, a liminal power object.
You are interested in Spider-Woman and the hands of Spider-Woman and Native American mythology?
Well, I live in the Southwest. I live in Tucson, Arizona, and I've lived in New Mexico as well. So for many, many years, prowling around the desert and coming into contact with Native Americans, the Navajo and the Pueblo peoples, I've run into Spider-Woman, or I could say that she's kind of run into me. And I've become very interested in particular the mythologies of the Spider-Woman, which are really, they're very important to the peoples of the Southwest. But actually, the Spider-Woman archetype, the Spider-Woman creatrix story is kind of ubiquitous throughout the Americas. There's a Cherokee spider woman. Perhaps the earliest one I know about is among the Maya, where she's identified with the Earth Mother.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the characteristics of Spider Woman?
Oh, well, that's a
who
big
is
one.
She?
Among the Pueblo people, she is a creatrix. She creates everything from her own substance, usually in union with Pawa, who is the sun god. There's a lot of different variations on these mythologies, but what I found really so wonderful and I think very appropriate for our time was the idea of Spider-Woman, who is also called Thought Woman, Tsuchinako. And Tsuchinako conceives of the world with the stories that she tells about the world. And then she weaves them together, and we engage in this process. We ourselves have this power. There's a real quantum idea for you there. There's a wonderful Karazhan Pueblo saying, let me see if I can get it right. Suchinako, thought woman, spider, is sitting in her room thinking up a good story right now. I'm telling you the story she is thinking.
Is there more to that? It goes on.
Yeah. We're all weaving together here.
Yes, indeed. What do I want to ask you? Well, of course, you are playing a bit. I mean, this event in Willits is coming. How did you begin to be involved? Because this isn't your first involvement. Did you live in Willits at a certain time? I know you've used your wonderful masks have been used there for other events.
Oh, I feel very privileged to have Annie Waters and Mana Young Bear as both friends and colleagues over the years. I don't even remember how I met Annie. It was quite a while ago. We've collaborated in a number of different performances with masks, and also I've collaborated in several performances with Mana. They're incredible artists.
They are, yes.
Choreographers, performers, storytellers, ritualists, and forces for activism for the earth and for the goddess. I don't know, Numina, the idea of the genus loci, the spirited place, has been in my mind for a long time, a really long time. I'm a dowser, and I used to study dowsing with Sig Lohengrin, who now lives in Glastonbury, England. And I've been quite literally, experientially aware that place has intelligence, has presence, communicates to us. And this is something that very much was a part of all early people, including our own European ancestors. I think this sense of nature being conversant and place having spirit and vision questing, or as with the Romans, the idea of the Numina, you know, every orchard, every stream, every sacred well had a numen, had a presence that was felt and honored and solicited for assistance. I think we've lost that. We've lost the sense of the world being conversant and alive, and something that place being something that we needed to be reciprocal with. And I think we've lost that to our great loss and danger.
I do too, of course.
Something happens when world, when place is a you or a thou instead of a resource and it.
Yes. We can see what's happening in the world because we have lost that the forces in power feel free to rip anything apart and tear it apart to get what they want.
Yeah, and we're creating a huge environmental tsunami that's going to roll over all of us because of it.
Yes. And what happens to those spirits who once occupied those places?
Well,
it's a rhetorical question.
I think you can de-soul place. I mean, I have plenty of places that have had the life force. I mean, this is Gaia theory, in a sense. I mean, you know, which is to me a contemporary idea in some ways that's sympathetic to the idea of Numino or Numen. You know, I think we've seen many places where the Numen, the Devas, the spirited place has been driven away, where the land has been devitalized, the soul has been lost. And that soul is also us. I think it was years ago that I had the good fortune to hear Rachel Rosenthal, wonderful performer, speak. And she said, we're not living on the earth, we're living in the earth, in the body. And what we do to the earth, we're doing to ourselves. So as place loses soul, so do we. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. It certainly does. Speaking with Lauren Rain, but how about you have a number of contacts that people can see your work? Your website?
Oh, my website? Oh, I'm sorry. www.rainewalker.com. And I also have a new website, laurenrain.com.
Mm-hmm. And then you have a Spider Woman blog, is it?
It's Threads of the Spider Woman at blogspot.com, where I, like yourself, ponder things.
Yes. And your beautiful art and masks are to be seen. So I hope people will take a look at that.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
You know, I'm not the star in this production that's coming up in Willits. I just make the masks. And but without the dancers and the storytellers and the invocation of the Dumina, the bringing in of those mysterious forces that they do truly in a sacred manner, they would just be interesting sculptures. So I really have to thank all the many people that over the years have given me the privilege of making these masks so that they could be brought alive by their living force and by their stories.
So when these collections have traveled around the world, of course, people were performing with them.
Yeah, well, they've been in a few museums and shows here and there. but I never really understand why people, you know, buy masks as art objects. Because I see them as entirely collaborative in their nature. In fact, in some countries, I know in South America, some of the ritual masks are viewed as accruing a lot of power over the years as they're used for various special dances like the rain dance or the corn dance. And so at a certain point, they're felt to be too powerful, and they will ritually destroy them.
Mm-hmm.
In Bali, they have a caste of mask makers, you know, father to son. Women don't make masks in Bali, so they didn't really know what to think about me, except that I was an American, so I was weird. but the same thing, you know, when a mask that belongs to a particular village becomes damaged or needs repair, it goes to a special sacred mask maker. And sometimes they're ritually retired.
I don't suppose that's happened with yours. You don't destroy them. You don't set them aside.
Well, actually, the Mass of the Goddess collection, I was auctioned off to different people in 2008. And a wonderful group, Lena Grace and her group in Portland, Oregon, have half the collection, and they have continued to do ritual theater with them. I recently was able to see some photos of an event that they did in 2012. So the masks are still being used. Numina is a new collection that just kind of keeps growing in my imagination.
So this performance came into being after you have made the masks, not the other way around.
Well, some of them, Annie and Mana get ideas for masks, and sometimes there's just kind of magical things that happen. I mean, again, it's this collaborative process, which is, as you know yourself as an artist, kind of ultimately mysterious that goes on. They've suggested different masks. I call it the medicine basket mask. Mana has a different name for it, but the face that has the woven kind of ties, that has an interesting story. I don't know if I can tell it very well, because it seems to me it takes place on a number of dimensions. Mana mentioned to me that she had had a dream in which she saw a face that was also a basket. And I just found this really striking because a number of years ago I was teaching a workshop at the Kripalu Institute in Massachusetts, and I was doing a Mass of the Goddess mass-making workshop. And there was a woman in my class. It was a small group, and it was an intensive, so it was a four-day event. We were all there at this wonderful, wonderful place. And so the energy was really intense to work together. And there was a woman in the group who was quite thin and obviously, you know, ill, but wonderful spirit. But she had no hair, so, it was, you know, she was probably dealing with cancer. And Ilana Stein was her name, and she had been a midwife in New Jersey, quite well-known one. And so the way we used to, or I used to begin these processes, was we would do a kind of guided meditation to meet the spirit of the mask, to meet the goddess, before we began making mass and talking about what the story of those masks might be. And so we would share our process after, we'd share what we encountered after the meditation. So we did that. And when Ilana came around the circle, she said, well, I saw this incredible white goddess who came out of the darkness of a cave. And she was doing a dance, and it was like she was like a figure eight. She was gathering, and then she was offering, and then back. She was gathering and offering in a graceful figure eight. Mm. And she was dressed in a flowing white dress. And it was like she was trying to tell me something. And Ilana wrote this beautiful poem, which is actually being used in the performance that Annie and Mana have created, called Gathering and Offering. And interestingly enough, too, the woman sitting next to Ilana was a professional ballerina, beautiful woman, who had just retired and for some reason had brought along one of her white flowing performance gowns to Kripalu, which perfectly fit Ilana. And the point of all this is that the mask that Ilana made was a basket mask, which she called Gathering and Offering, and which she performed for us in that white dress that the other participant brought.
Oh, my.
And Ilana passed away a couple months after that.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So there was a real blessing and magic in that, and I never forgot that. So perhaps that mask, which will be used in this performance, represents that idea of gathering and offering.
Mm, mm. It's such a touching story and such an amazing event.
Would you like me to read a few lines from her poem?
Oh, you're lovely. Perfect. Yes.
Okay.
We are listening to Lauren Rain, Mask Maker.
Gather towards the north, gather towards the south, gather towards the east, and gather towards the west. Gather above and gather below. Gather what you've studied and gather what you've learned. Gather how you've lived, gather what you've loved. Gather who your friends are and gather how they've cared. Gather your relations and gather how you've fared. Gather birth and celebrate, gather death and cry, gather hope, regret, and longing, and gather up the why. Gather up the waiting and gather all the struggles, gather faceless fear and all the broken promises. Mm. Gather yesterday today and gather time tomorrow. And she says, gather all remaining threads and search across the country. Look out among the human beings, look out among relations, then offer. Offer up your gatherings to all nations and creations. Offer to your children, offer to your kin, offer to the hungry and offer to the blessed. Offer to the little birds, chipmunks, and the deer. Offer to the badger, the mole, the frogs, yes, the bear. Offer to the sand and mud, the concrete and the buildings. Offer to farmers. Offer to doctors, offer to visionaries, offer to artists, offer to the frightened, offer to the scared, offer to those in dangers and those unprepared. And it goes on. And she says, you've gathered through the springtime, the summer, and the fall. Now rest and build your strength up. Cycle with the moon. Cycle through the mystery time. Close your eyes and sleep. Dream the dreams of where you've been. Dream the dream of where you're going. Then gather. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, it's very beautiful. It must have been so touching because you also could see her illness while she's doing this.
Well, I feel like it was a gift that she gave us.
Yes.
And that gift originated within the mystery of that vision that she had.
Yeah.
You know, I think, this is where art process becomes a spiritual practice. That, you know, brings us between different realms of being. And that's when it's really most wonderful, as, of course, you know yourself.
Yeah, yeah. We're listening to Lauren Rain, Mask Maker, and it's too bad that you can't be in Willits when this is performed, but you won't be. You'll be in Tucson.
So I really feel bad about that. But I have some responsibilities here I can't avoid.
Uh-huh. Have you seen any rehearsals of the event? And who all is in it?
I don't know the names of all the people. And I have not seen the rehearsals. Some of the masks were used by Annie and Mana and wonderful members of her community for the winter solstice. And I know that Mana wore a mask called Dawn. They posted a number of photographs. I have posted them, yeah, on my blog. That's www.threadsofspiderwomanblogspot.com.
And they're stunning. I have a list who will be performing. Well, Mana will be, and they're using some of your work, so your name is here too. And Marilyn Mother Bear.
Yes, Mother Bear.
Yes, and Ilana Stein.
Well, Ilana Stein is the woman who wrote the poem. Will be
oh,
with us
I see.
In spirit, and I think
yes,
she would
will.
Be very pleased about that.
I've been to, maybe I've just been to one spiral dance in Willits, but it was the most wonderful, I have never stopped talking about it because it was such a marvelous event with everyone sitting on the floor and wonderful lighting. You know, the lighting is just, I think the lights are down low. It must be it. And then with spotlights on the performers. So anyway, it just creates magic.
Well, the spiral dance is such a magical ritual. I've participated in several of the ones that Annie and her colleagues create in Willits. And also, I created the first Mass of the Goddess collection for the 20th annual spiral dance at Fort Mason Center in San Francisco with Reclaiming.
Yes.
That was a great privilege.
Well, I bet. How exciting.
Yeah.
With Starhawk and everybody.
Uh-huh. And
and you just hit town, right?
Well, yeah, that was quite magical. I really owe the genesis of that to Maka Nightmare, one of the founders of Reclaiming. I went to Witch Camp in 1999, and I met Maka there. And, it's another one of those magical stories. You want to hear it?
Sure. We're all for magic.
Okay. Let's see. I met Maka, and I came back from Witch Camp, and I decided I was going to go up to Ojai, which is a rather magical place, in, you know, above Los Angeles and camp for a few days, which I did. And I had this great dream. And in the dream, somebody gave me an antique typewriter, and it was covered with kind of like potting soil, this really nice, you know, loam. It had come out of the earth, and, you know, it had bits of food in it, but not rotten, and, you know, like oranges and things. So I kind of dusted it off, and it was a real pretty little funny-looking typewriter. And I started typing on it. And these stories started coming off of it. Just, you know, it was like it just started generating stories all on its own, and reams of paper were flying out of the typewriter. And pretty soon, the paper was turning into these photographs of all these goddesses, you know, in all different colors, you know, in beautiful costumes. And really, I really dreamed this. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I look up, and the papers have flown off, and there's this long line of all these beautiful women standing there. Mm. And they've got, you know, they're all colors, red and blue and black and white, and all in these beautiful costumes, and they're all kind of standing there looking at me. And I remember before I woke up thinking, wow, that's a great typewriter. So I thought that was such a wonderful dream, so I made a note of it. And a few days after that, Maka called me and said, oh, they're planning the spiral dance for this year, and would you like to come to the planning meeting? So I did, and they have this process where they decide what they're going to do, and the theme that year was diversity, and they decided they wanted masks for the invocation of the goddess. So, of course, I raised my hand and went, me, pick me. And so that's how it all started. And I have to say, you know, when all those women came out at the spiral dance, dressed in beautiful costumes and wearing those masks, I really felt like, wow, my dream came true.
I can imagine. How exciting. How wonderful. You presented at Glastonbury last year.
2 years ago at the Goddess Conference in Glastonbury. Wonderful, wonderful event.
And what did you present?
I talked about the Mass of the Goddess, and I talked about mask making, and shared videos and stories about the process of the mask, how they traveled around and the different groups that use them.
I'm really sorry. We don't have another phone line. I'm sure there's somebody who'd love to call in and speak with you, but we can't do it right now. So apparently there will be dancers and speakers also, I have on my notes here. Many local dancers and speakers will bring their talents to the stage for this contemporary drama.
Well, what I really like that Annie and Mana decided to do is they're going to be using some of the techniques in classical Greek theater, which is the use of a chorus to tell the story. So there will be at least three narrators, storytellers, telling the story.
Then I suppose someone's enacting it with the masks.
Well, different dancers will be invoking those mm-hmm. noumena.
Yes. Annie mentioned too that they're using the Grange this year, and I don't think maybe they did the spiral dance there in December. I'm not sure at the Grange. So that she writes, the newly installed theatrical lighting for the main stage at the Grange is being used for the very first time. She says this great upgrade of our completely renovated community Grange Hall.
I met some of the people who will be performing the mask. It was a pleasure.
Annie ends her announcement with, please join us for an evening of deepening. And I'm absolutely certain that's what it will be.
I'm sure of it too. And I know that the dancers will bring in the spirits of those noumena. Give voice to those forces in our world.
Coming up with offering a key to revisioning our collective future. She says, join us as we speak to our fears of climate change, GMO issues, animal extinctions, and offer a key to revisioning our collective future. I wonder what she means.
Well, to me, revisioning means remything our culture. You know, we are all planting seeds for the future. And that's what artists is. I think artists are the myth makers for their time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking about myself here, but I'm talking about everyone who engages in these wonderful collaborative processes, which are also rituals and education and a form of prayer. They're about shifting energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, you know, we need to remiss, revision the way we see ourselves living upon the earth, not in a world full of resources that can be exploited because they're rapidly diminishing, but in a conversation, a grand conversation with the noumena, the spirits of place, with the earth herself.
Mm-hmm. And giving them an opportunity to speak.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely. Mm. With or without masks, that concept has been intrinsic to early and indigenous humanity. I mean, you didn't just go take, you participated. And every place had something to teach you. Every place had a voice. Every place, in a sense, had a face.
It's pretty wonderful. I can dip into that a little bit. You know, I grew up on a farm. I lived in the same place all my growing up years, land that had been in our family, my dad's family. And definitely, I mean, it's, we loved it, you know. My mother would say, oh, when we go away, oh, I'm so glad to be home. It was like it was home.
Well, I think your home also loved you, don't you think? I mean, really, you know, I mean, it's that concept of reciprocity. And this is really goes right into quantum physics, this idea that everything is alive and responsive in some way. You know, that nothing is dead and just a thing. Mm-hmm. Everything is communicating and responsive in some way. So if you're projecting love, you're a caretaker, you're communicating with the place that you live in or visit, if it's a sacred place, because some places are power places. Some places have special properties to
yes,
them.
I feel that way about Bolinas. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's, I, you know, in California, Bolinas. The town Bolinas.
Oh, I feel that way about a number of places, but I'll tell you, when I went to Glastonbury, to Avalon in 2011, and I just, you know, every day I was there for almost 2 months, and every day I'd go to those, you know, almost every day I'd go to, you know, the White Spring, or I'd go to the Chalice Well. Uh-huh. Or I'd walk up on the tour.
I've been on the tour.
yeah, I mean, you feel it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yes.
you really feel the Lady of Avalon. She's...
And you know, it has such a history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a very tangible presence. And many surprising things happen to me there. I mean, I really understand why it's a place of great pilgrimage.
Well, it sounds like this event in Willits is going to be really, really wonderful.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I hope to go. I think I must go.
Well, I wish I could go. Please say hello to everyone for me.
Yes. You know, when you're talking about we're all planting seeds, and that's so true. And I think of that for myself. For instance, in the song I sang tonight, it's full of seeds.
Mm-hmm.
My learning about the mother has come from my artwork. You know, it taught me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's true for many, many people who are creating. The creation happens and then you understand it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that when you engage with art, which is a form of, well, art's many things, but, you know, you start to move into that realm of symbolic thinking and symbolic communion with the deeper self and with world, if that makes any sense. And that's when these kind of really surprising things begin to happen. You know, you get out of the ego and you enter into kind of a greater realm of being. Mm-hmm. Can happen sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm amazed at your dreams. I think you had another dream at some point that you told me about. I'm sure you've had many. But what an extraordinary dream that was.
Yeah, kind of like future memory. I don't know how to explain it. You know, when I began to work with the goddesses and enter into what I call the mythic realm or the mythic mind, that's when I really began to feel like there's, you know, you're in a noisy place where there's a lot of people and a lot of information coming in that isn't necessarily about your own life and your own sort of small world. Mm-hmm. I think the story you were thinking about was the story of the Corn Mother Mask. Did I tell you that?
Mm-mm. I don't know.
Okay. This is another one of my favorite ones. And it engages Mana, actually. Mana Youngbear and her colleagues were putting together a performance in 2002 at the Black Box Theater in Oakland with the collection of Goddess Masks. And I was in Arizona that winter, and I wasn't really present, and I really didn't know what she was going to do. She had the collection, and we were just exchanging a few emails. But I did come back to California that spring. I think it was in May, and I was settling into my motorhome out in Vallejo. And it was about a month or so before her performance. I meant to get in touch with her and talk with her more about it. Anyway, there was a ritual that was being held at the Ritual Center, Matthew Fox's University of Creation Spirituality. And they had some of my masks that were going to be shown there, and not necessarily a part of the ritual, but, you know, kind of as icons at the different quarters. So I went to that, and there was a meditation going on. And I was in a room, about 300 people, the light darkened, and there was a wonderful female theologian, I can't remember her name, who was doing a rather long meditation about the burning times and the demise of the sacred feminine. And so I'm in this room with 300 people. It's dark. Everyone has their eyes closed. A lot of people are weeping. I close my eyes, and what do I see? I see this Native American woman in a deerskin fringed outfit. She has an ear of corn in either hand, and she's dancing. Hey-ya, hey-ya, hey-ya. I mean, she's like 5 feet away from me dancing with the corn. And I'm thinking, oh, this is strange. What does this have to do with the burning times here? Open my eyes. Here's all these weeping people, you know, and close my eyes, and there is this Native American dancer again.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know, here I am in the charged atmosphere of the Ritual Center, the charged atmosphere of this meditation going on, and I'm having my own kind of experience. So I was so amazed by that I, you know, made notes in my mind, went back, and I made a mask for Corn Mother. I went out and bought a couple ears of corn and cast them, and so I made this Native American face, and there were ears of corn on either side of the mask, and I put a rainbow on it because I was thinking about the idea of the rainbow tribe and the vision of, you know, the evolution of a rainbow world, a rainbow nation. So anyway, I spoke to Mon a few days after that, and It turned out there was only one person in her cast who did not have a mask, and that was Christy Salo, who was doing a story and performance based on the story of Salu, the corn mother of the Cherokee.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said, well, I guess she has a mask now.
Oh, wow.
So, again, there's that mystery, that...
complete.
That intercession, that collaboration from other realms.
Yes, yeah.
The goddess wants to come in. She really does.
Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
And she will use us all.
Yes, and she can't come a moment too soon.
No, we all need to help.
Yes, and to be open and to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. What an active inner life. Well, mythology has been very much a part of your life.
Well, I've always been very interested in mythology. I'm a great fan of Joseph Campbell and the Power of Myth series in the 80s with Bill Moyers. Mm-hmm. Was very informative for me.
But these dreams are really, really amazing. It's as if you have Lauren, have the ability to move it into material form through your masks. And so you're being called upon.
Well, we all have that ability. I mean, you know, I'm a mask maker, so I can make masks, but I think that creative process is open to all. It's engaged in me when I have a community of some kind to use my work. I suppose that's what they call the shamanic function of art.
Well, certainly it is that. Well, let me see. We're getting close to the hour. Dear me, we really are. Lauren, it's been wonderful having you. Just wonderful. I could go on listening to many more stories.
Thank you.
yes, it's been lovely. And I hope people got all your information and will check you out. We'll certainly be in touch, and you'll get all kinds of feedback after the event, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, I really look forward to this. And my only regret is that I can't be there, but I'll be there in spirit. I thank all the people who are participating in it.
Okay, all right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yes, good night.
Thank you, Janie.
Yes, good night.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks again.